Disregard what's in the bulletin. I got ahead, and that's the title for Christmas Eve. So consider that a teaser. Our series has been "Unto Us a Son is Given," and we've been talking about one who came to be our Savior, to win the victory for us. And I'm not talking about Lionel Messi. If any of you were watching that today, it was incredible. Those of you that don't watch TV on Sundays, you should. It was amazing. Well, the Savior that comes to give us the victory was God in the flesh. And the victory that He brings us is infinitely more satisfying. It will not fade in glory, and it does satisfy your deepest needs. My point this evening is very simple. It's just a couple minutes, and then we're going to go to the tables together. Feast on the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us. Isaiah 7:14, you know this, you hear it lots at Christmas time. Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. A virgin will conceive, and she will bring forth a son. His name will be called Emmanuel, because He is God with us. And then in Matthew 1:23, we are reminded in the coming of Jesus that He is the one who is God with us. And here's the very simple point tonight, because I think you need to hear it, and I do. He's still with us. If you remember Forrest Gump, when he finally gets connected with Jenny, the love of his life, and I won't try to use his accent, but he says, after they got together and reconnected, and then she got on a bus to leave, he said, and just like that, she was gone out of my life again. I think that we sometimes act as if Christmas comes and goes, and we forget about the fact that when God became flesh and dwelt among us, He was God with us, and He will always be God with us. And three proofs I want to give you tonight of that reality. Number one, He provided His Holy Spirit. Now remember this, John 14 and John 16, Jesus said to His disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to bring an advocate, a spirit of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter is going to come, and He's going to be with you. And they didn't like that news very much. They didn't want Jesus to go away from them. And then Jesus sort of turns up the heat a little bit more. In John 16, He says, it's for your good that I go away, because if I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Well, how can that be good? Jesus, You're the God in the flesh, You came and You dwelt among us. You're leaving and You're telling us it's good that You go away. How is that even possibly good in the slightest degree? Well, because Jesus knew what they didn't know yet, that when the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts 2 at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be the permanent abiding presence of Christ in each one, not limited to space and time. They would always have God with them in the flesh. So when Jesus came and He was God with us, He was God with us then, and He is God with us now, because God has provided the Holy Spirit, which is the abiding presence, pointing us to the love and promises and peace of Jesus every single moment of every single day. God is still with us. Secondly, He promised that He would never leave us or forsake us. We know that God is still with us because of passages like Deuteronomy 31, I will never leave you or forsake you. Or Psalm 139, where can I go from Your Spirit, David says? Where can I flee from Your presence? If I go to the heavens, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me, Your right hand will hold me fast. Or how about Romans 8? Who shall separate us from the love of God? His love that is always with us. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? No. And all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, the present, the future, or any powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. God promised that through the Holy Spirit, my presence and my love will always be with you. Jesus was leaving his disciples. He said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, and I have promised that I will never leave you or forsake you." And then Jesus wanted his disciples to know, my presence is always with you, and now it's with you in my absence by the Holy Spirit. But one day, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming again, he said to his disciples. And when I come again, I'm going to receive you that you will be with me forever. So the reality is that the day is coming when we will be face to face with Jesus again. Either he's going to return while we're still on the earth and we will be face to face with him again, or we're going to go to him. And when we go to him as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll see him face to face again. We'll be able to touch him and know him and feel his embrace, the person of Jesus, because God is always with us. I think we need to hear this night, as we always do, but especially at Christmas, when it can be for some so brutal, so lonely, so sad. It's striking to me how many loved ones seem to die in the Christmas season. I can't take away your pain, no one can. The pain of loneliness or broken families or the loss of a loved one. But I can tell you that God is present because he is there by his Holy Spirit, and he promised he would never leave us or forsake us. One more World Cup analogy. This only comes around every 4 years, so I need to milk it for all it's worth. Today, if you watch the soccer game, France and Argentina, there's this player my son really loves, Angel Di Maria. He's an older guy, and he comes in off the bench, and he has been awesome in this tournament. He's made me love him almost as much as I love Lionel Messi. Di Maria is sitting on the sideline today after he got taken out, and through the ups and downs of that game, he is weeping the whole time. In one moment, they score, and he's just crying because he could not be more happy. And the next minute, the other team scores, and he's weeping because he could not be more sad and heartbroken. And I thought, what a parable of life. The highs and the lows, the pain and the joy that we all walk through. And we will walk through pain and suffering until the day that we're with Jesus face to face. But until that day, God has given us his Spirit, and he's promised that I am God with us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I will never leave you or forsake you. So here are my three proofs. I will give you one more, and then we're going to go to the supper. Why do we know that God is with us? Because he provided his Spirit. Two, because he promised it in Scripture. And three, and don't miss this, he provided a supper. You know when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And then Paul goes on to explain what happens in the supper. We actually feed and experience the presence of Jesus as we eat by faith on the body and blood of Jesus represented in bread and wine. We feel in our souls, and it's shown to be true again, that God is with us. And Jesus wanted us never to forget that God is with us. So he gave us a supper. And he said, every time you come to this supper, I am there. And you will eat and live unto eternal life as you eat and drink of my body and of my blood. You're going to experience again this night, because God loves you so much that he gave you a supper to remind you that the God who came at Christmas is still with us. Let's prepare for that supper right now.